we're calling the gathering back to order. Mr. Kurtz and other folks, I'm glad everyone stayed.
Okay, quit bribing him.
Good evening. We have a relatively short agenda, but I don't think we will use a short degree of time because there's a lot of things that are interesting on the agenda. Some that are non-controversial, some that are perfectly controversial. I'm glad people were patient and some folks have stayed. That's a good thing. The first item that we have is A, the physical plant, FY 2011 year-end budget report. Ms. Reinhardt.
Thank you. On page 40 of your agenda packet, we finally have our final expenditure report showing that the physical plant finished at 99% of its original budget. The utilities kept us where we were at, and if you look at the numbers down through the repair and maintenance line items, you can see that from our original budget to what we actually had to finish budgeting, we were quite a bit. Well, we need to take a serious look at our repair and maintenance line items for these buildings in the future. Page 41 is the current expenditure report for this year. There's nothing new or exciting on that to tell you about. You'll notice the courthouse repair and maintenance right out of the gate. We're at 19%, but we just renewed two large annual maintenance contracts with security systems and monitoring systems. And following two pages are the gas and electric utilities with very little information on them yet. As you remember, we are 3 months behind on our billing cycles with the paperwork at the time, so before it gets reported to this board. Any questions?
Questions? I'd entertain a motion to receive and place on file the physical plant report and the physical plant monthly report. That was a motion by Ms. Ammons and a second by Ms. Petrie. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. The Arbartel construction and East Campus Water Management Project Updates. It's in courthouse, but still.
Okay, on page 45, once again, it's just the current updated spreadsheet for the project budget. Nothing new this month shown on there, I don't believe. And as far as the East Campus Stormwater Management Project update, very light communication with Burns Clancy and Associates. They're getting the documents off to all the utility companies once again to make the official request for easement knowledge and get all the stuff together so that they can start putting the documents together for the bidding process.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to receive and place on files item C and D? Yes.
Motion
for Mr. Langenheim moved, seconded by Mr. Quisenberry, questioned by Ms. Ammons.
On the maintenance area build out for new building, is that the new turnkey building we built out for the coroner's office?
Yes, that's a combination of coroner's office, election storage, and maintenance facility. Yes, that is it.
Thank you.
Mr. James.
When will everybody be moving in?
Everybody is in and is completely occupied.
Is it really?
Yes.
Geez, I gotta get out more.
Actually, both the coroner and the county clerk are planning an open house, so you will all be receiving an invitation to that. I believe it's scheduled tentatively for February 28th.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. The sound system.
CV Lloyd and Company really came out of the gate fast on this project. They were on site Friday evening working, and following Saturday after the county board approved and signed the contract, they have a tentative 3.5-week schedule to complete if all the equipment gets in on time. They're already one-third of the way through with sound system modifications and upgrades for the courtrooms that were vacant last week. We have a scheduled walkthrough, just an update, this Friday afternoon. They are working 4-to-12 shift this week as their original proposal scheduled. Things are moving well there.
Any questions? Before we move on, I wanted to make a comment, and that is I want to thank Mr. Quisenberry and Mr. Alex for all of the work they did on that project. It was very, very useful, and I think they deserve the thanks, certainly of the chair and of the board, for all of the effort that they put into this. So I want to express that. Thank you. Anything further? Okay. What I'm going to do now is we're under item F, there's 1, 2. I'm going to go to 2 because item 1 is absolutely irrelevant if we don't do anything on item 2. So I would entertain a motion to approve a release of RFP for consultant services for needs assessment and pre-design planning.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Langenheim, seconded by Mr. O'Connor. That's certainly. Discussion. Mr. Weibel.
My assumption is what you're going to do is you're going to ask for, this is to find out if people are interested in working on this project, correct? To be very general about it?
It will be an RFP for a specific service, and based upon the responses, a single vendor will be selected to conduct the needs assessment and pre-design planning for the county's jail space.
Thank you.
Mr. O'Connor.
Well, I wonder if I'm the only one that thinks it would be appropriate to split this issue and vote on the consultant services for needs assessment as a separate yea or nay before we spend any money on pre-design and planning.
Just to be clear, the pre-design planning is only to put the needs assessment into basically bubble diagrams so that you have something to provide to an architectural engineering firm, which you would be selecting at a later date in a different step in the process. You don't need an architect or an engineer to do that. A jail consultant can do that. A jail consultant is typically going to be less expensive to provide that documentation and information than an architect would be or an engineer. So this is following the recommendation of the National Institute of Corrections in how to plan a new institution, and this is the recommended first step in moving into that planning.
Ms. Emmons.
I want to address a couple of things, first of all, that were brought up in public participation, and I think that needs to be put on the table before we began talking about consulting services and RFPs and this design bill. In the packet, the timeline that is given to the board members makes the automatic assumption that we're going to build a jail. And so when the committee of stakeholders went to Colorado, the initial conversation in the Democratic caucus, and I'd like for us to go back and pull the minutes, was that we were going on a research mission to find out options only, not necessarily an A to Z plan to build in a jail, which we've incorporated here. The other thing is that the assumption, again, is that it's appropriate to try to bypass the public's involvement and input here and ignore the comments from the public. I think that is also inappropriate. And then lastly, the referendum, which will be put forward before this board to accept a timeline guide, which is on your desk tonight, as to how you might pay for this. The initial article that was written in several resolutions for the tax itself was supposed to be repealed, and then, of course, this board in 2003, outside of the public's involvement, decided to repeal the sunset clause out of the public safety sales tax. I think if there's going to be a project, first and foremost, the public needs to weigh in on its own scope of the project and what it would like to see done with this money before we began to pre-plan a design. My experience on this board, and I'll be done in November, as a board member, but certainly I'll be involved as a citizen. My involvement in this board has been that whatever is put forward in front of us from the administration and the process, i.e. this timeline, seems to get the go-ahead, and all of a sudden it's out of the public view, outside of the one or two articles we might get out of the News Gazette on this issue. But the public's issue has been largely ignored in this process. What I'm asking the county board to do is to step back for a second, ask that there is a timeline similar to what this project-based timeline gives you, and set up around the entire county, set up public debate on this issue, period, and separate the public debate from the facilities maintenance that is necessary now. Separate those two issues. The downtown jail, which I know people that are in it and who have contacted me, of whom I've spoken to recently, want the issues of maintenance addressed. We want those issues addressed, and we don't want to wait to 2015 to address them. But the extension of the jail, the expansion of the jail, needs to go back to public debate. And this board, I don't believe, has the right, even though you may have the legislative ability to ignore the public, I don't think it's the moral responsibility of the board to ignore the impact in the African American community and the impact on poor people in the county, and not take this issue back to them. And I understand that people don't like this whole soapbox approach, but I think that it needs to be considered. And then lastly, it's very clear that stakeholders on this project planning team obviously have a stake in doing so. There is no dissenting voice, and there's no African American or Latino representation on this facility committee or planning team that unfortunately Mr. Betts has put together, and I think that that is
a point of order from the chair. Mr. Betts did not put it together.
So who put this together? I'd like to ask who put this planning team together.
I did not put it together.
But I'm asking officially who put this planning team together.
There is, you received a report in October from the week-long session that four of us attended at the National Institute of Corrections for Planning of New Institutions, and in that report, we reported that Phase 1 needs assessment, project team was to be developed, and the very people who are on this team that you're looking at tonight are the membership that was recommended by the National Institute of Corrections to be on a project team for planning a new institution.
They have no authority to set a planning team for Champaign County.
We are following a model. We went to a training.
That model was not approved by this board. This board has not adopted a model that we should follow from Colorado. We've not adopted a model. And if we're going to adopt a model, I'm fine with that. We should discuss adopting a model.
Mr. Langenheim.
First of all, we all appear agreed that the downtown jail must be corrected. This is a request for consultant service, a needs assessment, a pre-design planning, and how to accomplish that. It has nothing to do with the committee. There's no reason not to go ahead. We need to know what we're about, and Lord knows it's a complicated problem because we've been talking ad infinitum, ad nauseam about it for the last few meetings. So I would urge this board to approve the release of an RPF for consultant services. And then we can discuss who we want on this committee. If this board wants to change that committee or add to it, we're able to do that. That's the next order of business. But that order of business comes after we've decided to go ahead and do something about our problem. If we don't do something about this problem, it'll only be a matter of time until we are ordered to do it by the state or by other authority, or until we have a major disaster in that downtown jail.
Stephanie Holderfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of things that I did want to point out. In this proposal, at the very end on page 47, on 12/20 of 2012, if this plan isn't something that the county board would like to pursue. The county board determines not to proceed, and the architect engineer, the project ends. So I want to make sure that everyone has reviewed that and seen that the county board will make the decision whether or not to move forward. If they do not, the project ends. So I'm glad to see that that was added to the proposal. And then I did ask Sheriff Walsh about, I know there's a lot of public concern about mental health and the medical facilities that we currently have in the jail, and if those items, those areas were going to be addressed as part of a redesign of some sort. And he did assure me that that is going to be a part of some type of redesign, because we know, having listened to many people with many concerns on the conditions of the county jail, both the downtown and the satellite, that there is a huge concern, not only for, which I think someone made mention, for the corrections officers, but it's also for the inmates there. And Carol, I understand your passion. I do. And you're not alone. We all care, and we all want to make sure that we're going to make the right decision. You know, the experiences that people are having in the jail, we want to make sure that they are heard, which I believe here in public participation, people are voicing their concern. So to say that, I think, isn't quite fair. Believe it or not, I care, and I think everybody else here on the board cares. We want to make sure that we have the best community that we possibly can have. So that's all I have to say.
Mr. Carter was next.
Well, I'm going to have to address this to Dale, because Carol asked a question, and it wouldn't answer properly because you don't have that authority, and you know it, and nobody else, but you know, I'm disappointed my county chair. He is the guy that's supposed to make these decisions, and Mr. Beth. Those are the two key chairpersons. And for me, myself, I just feel awful bad that you all let something happen when you know that was you all duty to set this agenda, not nobody else. Carter, Ron, and nobody else. This is Champaign, Urbana. We don't know what's going on in Colorado. We don't know how they make their money over there, really. And for somebody to try to dump us, this is a shame. It's really a shame. And what you done, last meeting, when we had the meeting about the jail, when we left here, we had consensus that you were going to allow everybody, all the public, taxpayers, or who had something to say, to do that. Now, middle of the week, I have somebody call me and say, hey, you not, no, that's out now. You have a committee going to railroad that right on through. Now, I want to ask you personally, how you feel, Deb, when you ask me up here as a board member for my support, to support you, Tom, and Mr. Pies, to support you, and then I look and see this kind of crap going on. How do you think I feel? This is totally ridiculous. You know, who is represented here? Who is represented? You look at this, and this is really terrible. It's really terrible. And you ought to be ashamed to put this on the agenda like this. You got one, then you put all of these items, and way down to two.
I hate to interrupt.
It's a trick, man, from the beginning.
Point of order.
And it's just ridiculous. So now I have to go back to my constituents and the taxpayers. You are not going to have no chance to come out and give your say to this jailhouse project. It's awful. And you're getting where, who can you trust anymore? You come up here in earnest. When I sit up here, I try to do things from my heart. And when I see this buddy, it tears it apart. And I'm going to tell you, I have a dim feeling towards the people that concocted this deal up here. I do.
Mr. James, did you have an inquiry?
Yeah, I guess I do. We were talking about the RFP, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the comments, but sometimes I wish we would stick to the subject and then move to other comments. If you could do like Pius does and hit your gavel. But with the RFP, my question would be, it's a request. Deb, is there any dollar amount that you have in your mind or any figure that we're looking at that we're going to set for that RFP or is that going to be discussed when it comes back?
I don't think you'll actually know the dollar amount of the consulting services until you get the responses to the RFP and are looking at entering into a contract, which is definitely a decision that will be made by the county board.
And that's where I was going with that, because then once that would come back, they would outline what their cost and what they plan on
scope
doing.
Scope of services.
At that point can say, that's way more than we want to spend. We want to do something else. So
right.
What I'm trying to get at is we're hearing all this rhetoric at this point, which some of it is awful interesting. Don't get bug-eyed with me there, Lloyd. It's awful interesting. But we need to stay on the subject, because we all tend to want a grandstand, and we need to stay on the subject. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. James, and it's a point well taken. Ms. Berkson is next.
Because needs assessment is very much a matter of which side of the table you're sitting on, I would ask that in the evaluation of this RFP, if we pass it, the African American community, the mental health community, and maybe the academic experts were well represented.
Certainly when the RFP is drafted, you can, when it comes back to the board, say, I think these people should be consulted. You are the board that makes that decision.
I'm talking about evaluating the responses to the RFP. I think we need a broad-based group for that.
Well, that's up to you, the board, as well. I will tell you that statutorily, the board is the one with the sole authority to enter into a contract. It is not something that is enjoyed by the general public. They can weigh in, but they do not have a vote on it unless they get elected to this board. But I respect where you're coming from. Mr. Jay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This isn't probably going to be very popular, but I think one of the things that we need to do before we go too far down this road is understand that the board, this board, the county board, does not decide who goes to jail and who doesn't go to jail. Our only responsibility is to provide a place for people who are incarcerated to go, for the sheriff or whoever that might be. We do not have the authority or the mechanism to do the social programs that's being asked us to do. That's not our place, and that's not what we should be doing. So I think we need to get our focus on what do we do next. And it appears to me that this needs assessment needs to be done, whether we refurbish the downtown jail or whether we build a satellite jail or whether we do nothing, but that needs to be done. We need to focus on what we can do and not what would be nice to do.
Thank you, Mr. Jay. And Ms. Anderson.
Well, I sit here thinking that last week when we had the discussion that at the end of that, Carol, I think particularly, was asking that until we had some figures and some plans, we really couldn't make a decision about whether we wanted to remodel or whether we wanted to move out, and that it seemed like there was consensus to move forward in that, and I don't see how we can move forward unless we have the assessment and come up with some ideas and figures to wrestle with. So it seems like this is the next next move in getting to those figures and how we can make our decision.
Mr. Maxwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've had some problems being clear what we want in RFPs in the past. I think we should spend some time to make sure we're going to ask the right questions in the RFP, what we want, possibly even bring it back for review to the board, and see if we want to ask those questions in the RFP.
Let me tell you, it will be brought back because that's the only way we can do it. The RFP will be drafted, it will be circulated, it will go to this board, there will be an opportunity for board members to suggest, this is something we want, this is something we don't want, etc. That is a standard part of the RFP process that we do. Some people participate very actively in it, some people do not. But it is the right of board members to suggest things in RFP so long as the stuff's lawful and within the scope of the services that you're seeking. Mr. Quisenberry.
So Tom, does that mean that the wording on this item number two should be the approval of the construction of an RFP as opposed to releasing it?
I think that would be more correct. It's going to come back to the board.
That's fine. The way the purchasing policy reads, the board authorizes the release of an RFP. Since you don't have, it's a task to write this RFP, so I think we would like to have direction to know that before we take the time to write this RFP, that the board is interested in releasing the RFP. The board doesn't always necessarily have the RFP to review. It depends. Some are more technical than others, but in this case it makes perfect sense. And so our goal was to have the RFP written, if you authorize going forward with this tonight, written so that you could have it in advance of the February 23rd board meeting to provide any comments and input. And if you're ready to release it at that point, fine. And if you're not, then we would continue working on it until the next COW meeting.
Thank you.
Ms. Emmons?
I want to go back and separate issues. Again, we continue to talk about fixing downtown as the only option is a pre-designed plan. So we're talking about these things together as if they are one and the same, and that's the only direction we can go. The other thing is, Ms. Anderson is correct. When I asked for an RFP to be released, or that study is more specific, I asked for a cost assessment of the repairs of downtown in comparison to building everything from scratch, including personnel costs and any additional costs that will be included with a new facility. That's what I asked for. I did not ask for a pre-planning team. That is what the NIC asked for. Again, separate issue. Mr. Maxwell made it clear that we are moving in a direction of developing an RFP, which, as true from my time on the board, most people don't give input to RFPs. So whatever they come back with, they select a firm, they say, hey, that's how you go off and you're running. There's been no discussion at all at this meeting or anywhere else. The assumption is to fix downtown, you got to build. To fix downtown, you have to build. That's the messaging, propaganda. Fix downtown, you got to build. And if we request, meaning the black community and the community of color requests, that this board considers impact analysis, which there's much research for the board members to look at on this issue, beyond this facility, if you were really interested. So don't give me the I'm interested, I care discussion, because we've had a lot of that, and I don't care how many people don't like my comments and want to address them. There are two issues here. We got this from the board saying that there was maintenance concerns with downtown. We all received the maintenance concerns. We did. There was water coming down from the pipes. I walked through the jail two or three times myself. There were other issues with rodents. There's exterior damage to the building. We got all of those maintenance issues, but not once has this board said, let me see what we can fix on this issue. Let me separate that from the expansion. What we're saying is all one and the same. Let's release an RFP so we can see what we can buy instead of dealing with how much does it cost to fix what the problem is. What is the problem downtown? Can we fix it? We've not voted on that, had any discussion on that, and most board members don't want to at all. They just want to release an RFP, get a consulting company, build all these coffers up, and build this new building. And I think that that is the process that we have on this project planning sheet that's right in your packet today, with a continuous line as well as funding options. I think we are moving well beyond where we should, and I'll just say for Mr. J, what we can control, what we do control, even if you care nothing about the impact in the communities,
right.
What you do control is the quarter cents. This board controls the quarter cent sales tax and can change it whenever they get ready and can put it back on the agenda if you so choose. So that's what you do control, is the money mechanism, and you can design the scope based on how much money you want to spend.
Mr. Alex.
I've heard some great comments tonight from the public as well as members of the board. I just continue to be impressed by most of the feedback that we're getting on this. And I think Ms. Ammons actually did an excellent job of framing this. There's really some completely separate but related issues here. I mean, I think the thing that's on the table and the reason this is in the facilities section of the agenda is that we have a facilities problem. And stated very succinctly, the facilities problem is that the downtown jail was built on the cheap. I think people who are on the board at the time are willing to probably concede that. And is probably nearing the end of its useful life. I think the operative words here on the agenda are jail space improvement. And that's what we're talking about here. I mean, I think that we need to issue an RFP so that we can get a consultant in here to look at what the needs actually are and look at what our potential solutions are. I mean, one option is improving the downtown jail. One option is building additional capacity at the satellite facility and closing the downtown jail. I mean, a terrific option would be no build if somebody can explain to us how to do it. I think it's correct that we need to get out in front of the problem. I've heard a lot of comments about we're trying to ram this through. We have our mind made up, you know, ready to start pouring concrete. Mr. Aaron Ammons said, you know, we don't know the price tag of what the price tag would be to fix the existing jail. I think we're all in agreement on that. I think that's sort of the whole point of doing this RFP. I'm not real enthusiastic about the language pre-design planning. I think Ms. Ammons, raises the point that may be premature, and I think I agree with that. I mean, I think the design, I'm in favor of this if the idea of design is designing a solution to the problem. If the idea of design is we're going to design a new jail and that's the only way we're going to go, then I think that the language could use some work. This is being called expansion. Again, staying on this issue of the facilities, it's not clear to me whether anything that is being considered is expansion. I mean, the downtown jail is 75% empty right now. The issue is not overcrowding. I think a gentleman made a comment about overcrowding, and I, you know, with respect to your enthusiasm, I think that's a comment that may not entirely reflect the reality of what's actually going on in Champaign County. I mean, we have a lot of jail space that we're not using. We're not using it because the configuration isn't acceptable. We can't practically house women at the satellite jail. The satellite jail is inadequate for housing inmates with the type of mental health issues that we're seeing now. And these are basically issues of where the space is located, how it's configured. I think to say that we need to expand the jail is not an accurate statement. I think, again, going back to something that Ms. Ammons made, I think is an important point. I think we need to look at, in addition to the long term, I mean, no matter what we do here, any significant construction project or significant rehabilitation of the downtown jail is going to be is still several years off at this point. And I would like to see some of this planning process also focus on shorter term issues, whether there's anything we can do in the meantime to improve the conditions at the downtown jail, and quite frankly, coming up with contingency plans or evaluating contingency plans that we may already have to determine what we would do in the event that we have to make a decision sooner to close the downtown jail, or if somebody comes in and tells us that we have to close the downtown jail, which I think is not outside the realm of possibility. So I guess the bottom line, I mean, that's what I see as a facilities issue, and I don't see any reason not to support issuing this RFP so we can get somebody in here to help us figure out what our problems are and what our options are. I do agree with Ms. Berkson that this project team is pretty down the line from the law enforcement side. It wouldn't be a bad idea to include some mental health professionals, to include somebody from a medical professional, to include some of the people in the organizations that are providing services to people in the jail so that we can make sure that they can weigh in as well. Whether they're formally on the committee or whether their input is solicited, I think that's going to be crucial as we decide, as we identify the problems and figure out how to solve them. I have some more comments related to what I see as the other big issue on the table, which is this justice issue, but I'm going to take them up when we get to item 4 on the agenda, if you would allow me to.
Mr. McGinty.
Well, as usual, Chris provides a terrific analysis of where I think that we are. I'm for release of the RFP. I don't need to restate why, because I think Chris did an excellent job of that. I want to address the issue of tone as we go forward with this, because I think it is an important issue. One misinterpretation, I think, is it's not clear at all at this point that we're talking about any expansion. I sure am not. I'm in learn mode here. I am trying to take in this information. I'm extremely interested in what the public has to say. You can believe that or not if you choose to, Carol, but you know, I have the floor. Excuse me.
I didn't speak to you. Why would you call my name? Speak to the chair.
I don't even need to say anything else. I think that that speaks for itself. Thank you.
Mr. Ezri.
I would just like, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to say that Mr. Alex, I think, did a good job of stating it, and I guess I would, as my assumptions would be, and we can definitely spell them out, that to address like the downtown jail needing work right now, I would assume that if we would go along and remodel the downtown, that would, part of that process would be to fix the issues such as the outside that would be included in it. Now, maybe kind of keep some of those things separate, so that should we decide not to do anything, we are going to have, if we don't do anything, we're going to be stuck with the downtown jail as it is, but it does need some work. So when it comes to prices, we have a price for remodeling the downtown jail, but there's a separate little price package over here that includes all the work that needs to be done, such as the tuck pointing on the brick. So that, okay, we aren't going to build anything at the satellite, we aren't going to remodel, but this is what we need to fix the downtown jail. Something needs to be done at the downtown, and granted, some of it may be even quicker than the time frame for the building that we're looking at doing, but I would hope, I mean, I don't know why you would remodel the interior and wouldn't fix the exterior. That doesn't make sense at all. So to me, it only makes sense that you would include any other repairs at the same time that you would even think about remodeling the inside, if that was the way we would choose to go. Thank you.
Ms. Stephanie Holderfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thank you, Chris. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Mr. Ezri. I think that what you've stated is exactly how I am seeing this. You know, there's that saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, it's broken, and we need to fix it. And how else are we going to fix the problem if we don't get a deeper understanding of how to do it, how to go about it? I'm not ready to spend one dime, not one dime, until we get those questions answered. We cannot spend any money on this until we know. No one is saying we're building. My concern is that the facility that we currently have is in disrepair. It's unsafe. I want the inmates to have safety. I want them to have the medical facility that they need, as well as the mental health care that they need. These are the problems we need to fix. I'm not interested in increasing the number of beds. We have enough there. also, I think statistically, someone had shown me that statistically, in like counties, we have the lowest rate of incarceration. So I'm not really sure where these higher numbers are coming from, but as a comparison, we do have lower numbers for incarceration. I'm not interested, again, in increasing the size. I want to fix what's broken so that we can get the help that's needed for the building and for the inmates that are there.
Ms. Michaels.
Excuse me. I guess as I read this, and what, you know, there's lots of comments going everywhere, and if you sit back and listen to them, you can, you know, kind of go back one way and the other depending on what you feel like. But I have a problem with the pre-design planning portion of this approval to release RFP. I do see that there are two different issues here, and I think that if we have maintenance needs, and that's part of this needs assessment, in our existing facilities, we have a maintenance area. We have a facilities director, and I would see that mainly those would be met by in-house. And maybe some of these things can be done in-house before we have to send an RFP out. If I'm looking at this too simply, maybe that's because I just want to try to make it as easy as possible for everybody, and also save the taxpayers some dollars at this point, because we do have some other hot issues that we need to take care of. So I just have a little bit of problem with this pre-design plan. It almost says that we are going to rebuild or restructure with some larger dollar issues than some general maintenance.
You see, could you respond to that?
And the sheriff may be able to embellish on this, but pre-design planning is really the needs assessment determines what your needs are. The pre-design planning is to talk about, for mental health, for example, what kind of design will best accommodate the needs of those who are served in a mental health area of the facility. And we're going to know we need kitchen space, we need space for education programs, we need space for the individuals to exercise, and the pre-design planning is intended to put those spaces in consideration of how they need to be located with regards to adjacencies, what parts of those spaces can be shared. So in other words, an educational space can be shared by two different pods based on how scheduling is done, which is all part of the needs assessment. So it's just all part of putting together a big picture of what the needs are to best serve those who are in the facility and how those spaces relate to each other and should therefore be, you know, spatially, you know, related to each other and located. It doesn't draw out the locations. It's just gives the concepts of those spaces and how they relate to each other. And do you want to add to that?
Sure. Yes.
You all have said it real well. Why don't you use a mic for recording?
Yeah.
You said it real well, Deb. I'm hoping we can get a pre-planner who can also give us some idea in terms of diagrams, but she's right. You start with bubble diagrams. What do you want, and how does it all interact, and then what's the security issues? And you just said, like, a classroom. Well, if you put a classroom in the middle of two pods, you can share it. You can use the classroom for church. I mean, it goes into all these different things, and Stephanie and I think Mr. Alex also mentioned it. Look at what I gave you. This isn't something I'm going to do on my own. I never intended to. I do intend to involve the people that deliver these services. The ladies that were here last week, the mental health and medical, they're the ones who really need to sit with the planner and say, this is what I think I need for the population we have now. And I'll make this clear. I really don't control who comes in jail. I wish I could. If the superintendent and I had our way, we'd wave a wand and there'd be 100 less prisoners there tomorrow morning. You've got several options before you, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating what you've all said, but I want you to hear it from me, because this is what I'm asking. Have one option. simply fix what's wrong with the downtown jail, keep that same structure, that same design. Personally, I think that's a bad idea, but let's let somebody else look at it. Maybe you can remodel the downtown. I'm hoping a planner can look and say, like John, the engineer, did, yeah, this can fit in this footprint. Now maybe they'll say, well, and then of course you have the option to just move it. And then you have the other option is to say we're going to add one bed or we're going to add 1,000 beds. That's your choice. I just want to say one thing, I don't get off of here. You know, a couple of people said, well, Sheriff, you want to do this to make money. You know, you're going to rent out space. I only offer that if you folks decide we want to build an extra 10 beds and we aren't going to fill it. Well, I want to come back to you and say, here is an option if you want some money. I have no personal stake in this. If people said I got a political agenda or we're going to make money or I want to have a nicer office, you folks, a lot of you have seen my office. I don't particularly care what my office.
Everyone else has. Ms. Petrie is next.
Okay, thank you very much. I was so impressed with how effective public participation was in creating the roundabout for the Olympian Drive. I'm going to try to get us back to some of the comments that the public has made and see if we can integrate this into this process and tie together some of the concerns that have been expressed by my fellow county board members on how this is happening. I would like to hear responses from Ms. Busey and Chair Betts as to the possibility of adding certain categories of individuals to this project team, if that's a possibility. The possibility of once a RFP proposal is brought to the board, no, let me back up first. Before a proposal is written, the possibility of taking into account some of these comments that have, these very constructive comments that were made, especially this evening, on some of the things that they would like to see happening in relationship to potential scenarios. The sheriff just mentioned three potential scenarios that could be part of what's included in the proposal for the RFP, and how we can then bring that back so it's not just board input, but also plenty of public participation time at a board meeting or at a COW meeting so that the public can comment, and that we will take those comments seriously and where there is merit, integrate them into how the final proposal for the RFP is written. It's very clear to me that we're not going to get public meetings done before this RFP is written, so I'm trying to figure out other ways to do it. And then the last aspect is in this timetable that is in our packet, I am taking that as just cognitive scaffolding of what are the things that we have to look at down the line in this process, and that these dates are not etched in stone. And one of these dates that's in here is the length of time for a putting out the RFP and then making a decision on the RFP, which is approximately 2 months or a little less than 2 months. And at a minimum, that should be 3 months to do that, and maybe even a little bit longer, but I would go for 3 months. So I'd like to hear comments back from the two of you on some of the ways that we might begin to integrate some of these concerns in moving forward on this issue.
On your last comment, in terms of things written in stone, I agree with you. I think it's a very aggressive agenda in terms of a timeline, and I think even the sheriff would agree with me. That's a tough agenda, and I am not convinced that it can be done in that time frame, but you have to put something out, and I think time is going to tell whether we're going to be able to meet those timelines. You have to set some sort of goal. If you just leave it blank, you are going to be in the twilight zone and never get anywhere. With regard to, well, you know, the board always has the authority. You are the board. With regard to the other issue in terms of the scope, again, I think the sheriff did it perfectly well. There is nothing in this RFP proposal that in any way excludes the downtown, the satellite. What we're looking at is space needs and how they fit in. The board ultimately decides when a report comes back, does it fit? Does it fit anywhere? Does it fit satellite? Does it fit downtown? Does it fit a whole other facility? The board's also going to be saying, you know, we don't have any money, so even though we don't have money, we might have to look at something else. And I think that's part of this as well. The assumption that everything is somehow excluded, I think, is a mistake. Again, the board is the one that has the authority to include and exclude. Not me, not Deb Busey, not our facilities director, not the sheriff. It's the board. It's a collective decision. I think there's always room for public input. Lord knows we have had plenty of public input in the past 2 weeks. And at the next meeting or the meeting after, if there's an RFP, rest assured, I think the public will be here. They'll criticize it. They will make suggestions. And some of them will be very valid, good suggestions. Because I have yet, in 16 years on the board, I have yet to see a perfect RFP. They don't exist. There are models out there, but there's always room for tweaking and discussion and ideas. So I don't exclude anything from the realm of possibility on what we're doing here. I will tell you, the sheriff, we are opposite political parties. I'm a defense attorney. I have found him completely open every step of the way to almost every idea in terms of maximum security, dorm areas, different, being very supportive of helping in the gender issues with relationship to education, how we screen people, all of that stuff. He's not just been open, he's suggested much of it. I've been amazed at how open he is to alternative ideas. The other thing, in the process of looking at any of these issues, and I can remember when we were in Aurora, Colorado, doing these issues, one of the things we talked about is how you use things like the victim offender restorative program, which we have in this county despite what the audience thinks. How do you use adult diversion and juvenile diversion and station adjustments, which this county is the leader in those areas, and we do reduce jail population rather massively on those issues. But you do account for that in looking at the future of the jail, future populations, past populations, how you utilize it. That's all part of that assessment process. It does not get overlooked. It cannot be overlooked because there's no ethical planner that would overlook it. So the assumption that I hear from the audience is that none of that stuff is going on. And that's very bothersome to me when I happen to know it takes place in this community on a very regular basis. The other thing I heard $20 million at one point that we're going to spend, and then in the hallway I heard $30 million. I don't know how people know this, since we have not done the assessment to figure out exactly what we're going to do, and that we're going to sell bed space so that we can put ICE people in there. The sheriff addressed that. I don't want the county, and I don't think anyone wants the county in the business of being a landlord for other counties and the risks that involve. It's very bothersome. We need to be careful. The roundabout was a perfect product of a packed audience in the process of doing Olympia Drive. It's a perfect product of it, and I don't think anyone in the broader community wants it. But, you know, it does not foreclose listening to people. You know, when people last week and this week said that jails perform no function, that it just harms people, and it picks on the vulnerable population, and a lot of people in jail definitely are vulnerable. so are the victims. When this person got up here and talked about the spouse abuse case and how horrible it was, he might have lost his job sitting there for 5 days. And I wonder what the spouse thought. She at least had 5 days of protection. There's more vulnerability than just the person in the jail. And it's hard for me as a criminal defense attorney to say that, but there are people who belong in jails. There are people that are very unsafe. You know, one person said, Julia Reitz can just, with the mandatory minimum sentences, she can just not do it. I am dying to call her up at some point with one of my cases that is a mandatory. Julia, you can just do that. You can just overturn state law. I'm waiting to have the chutzpah to be able to do that. I don't have the nerve. Public participation is great when it is at least somewhat informed. Many people are informed, but there was an awful lot of misinformation out there about the sheriff's mixing traffic offenders with murderers. It's possible, I suppose, but I think they'd do a little bit better screening than that because the liability is so strong. We've had to deal with liability issues in closed meetings at this board in relationship to that. So if he's regularly mixing folks in that are high risk with real low risk people, I would be fairly amazed by such an assumption. I needed to talk because I've listened to this for several weeks, and I think it's been very good, and I think we're going to continue. We are going to continue to have this conversation at this board meeting. I'm going to be off the board, but it's going to continue for the rest of you for the next 5 years. Welcome aboard, because this is what you're going to hear. It's just like Olympia Drive, and it's going to be okay. It is absolutely okay to have this process. It's good. It is a good thing, because we're learning stuff every step of the way. But let's keep an objective that this is about a facilities issue. There is a huge social justice issue that operates in this community, and we have some ability to address it. But we also have that facilities issue. Mr. Rosales.
Oh, I just asked about the possibility of expanding this project committee to capture maybe Astrid's comments or the staff members from the jail after we've attended set of study session. These people have some valuable knowledge base that certainly could contribute to this needs assessment.
I would just like to speak to the project team for a moment. This is the same model that we've used for all of our construction projects since the jail that was built in 1996. Right. Well, the jail that was built... Actually, the jail that was built in 1996 is a satellite jail, and it's a good facility. The project team has basic responsibility for staff work, not policy decision making, but to keep the project moving forward. And that's why the recommended team is comprised of staff who are involved and engaged in this project. When it was the nursing home project, it was the nursing home administrator, the facilities director, the county administrator, and the chair of facilities at that time comprised the project team. In this process, in the process of working with the consultant to develop the needs assessment, I imagine a very large number of employees who work in the correctional center are going to be interviewed. We did that at the nursing home. They're called working charrettes, and you have 2 to 3 hour sessions where a number of staff people come together to meet with the consultant and talk about all of the issues that are involved. When we get to that stage of the process, if there needs to be some other form of engagement from experts or the public, that's a decision that the board can make. I just want to be clear, the project team is just to keep the project moving forward, to get the RFP written and get it back to you for your input and for your feedback, to keep things moving in terms of the project itself.
Mr. Rosales.
I just wanted to ask the question of Alan Reinhardt, facility directors. How did we ever get here to this point where the deterioration of the jail has become a major issue and it hasn't been properly maintained for several years?
Well, first I'd like to address what the issue about being properly maintained. Okay. We have maintained the building the best we could under with the ability we had and the funds that were available. We have put a new roof on it some time ago. Last week when I did say that the equipment's 30 years old, well, most of it still is. And we clean it, we fix it, and repair it. What we cannot maintain, which is adding to these conditions, is the fact that in the first 5 to 10 years there were multiple hangings and jailbreaks from the original design. At that particular time, that's when major modifications were done to the ventilation system, to the lighting system. We welded plates over the windows, we welded screens on the ventilation systems, we blocked the air, we shut off the light, losing the natural light, we did not increase the artificial lighting, so the lighting is poor, the ventilation is poor, and there's no way for me to be able to fix those kind of things. Those are the deficiencies. That's how it gets so bad. We cannot paint with the type of paint that needs to be used in that facility. There is no exhaust system. We have to use multiple air movers just to try to paint the shower stalls, or we have to use a very low VOC type paint, or they're vacating the building. Years ago, if there was a small fire when they were allowed mattress or something, or mattress would catch on fire, the fire department would actually have to bring in ventilators to just move all that smoke out of the building, and they would have to take the inmates and move them to the outdoor rec, because you just can't. It's just that poor design with all the all the crazy modifications we had to make over the years to just keep the building working the best we could.
Are we currently in code violation according to the state of Illinois?
Not as far as the building safety, I don't believe. As far as code violations for the sheriff's facilities, he would have to answer that question. We have our building inspected by the fire department. We have our annual fire alarms system checks, our sprinkler system checks, so on and so forth. But as far as City of Urbana, building codes, safety codes, we are okay there.
And we're allowed to operate under those conditions.
That is correct.
And the state does not mandate any improvements at this point?
They have not at this time.
Or shut us down because it's hazardous to either the officers or the inmates?
No, they have not.
Okay, and then another question is not only the maintenance, but is there a maintenance fund to keep the jail in operation? Because I know that last year you were also talking about the HVAC that we put in.
That is correct, yes.
We put in the blower, and then this year you were talking about several million dollars to upkeep the rest of the things that we need to get updated?
Yep. The several million dollar, million and a half, was the projected numbers that you've seen months ago, which will have to be spent sooner or later with a new roof replacement if we continue with that building. Another roof replacement, exterior tux pointing, and new boilers, so on and so forth, because everything's 30 years old.
And how long would you say, or would you predict, that we could operate under these conditions, current conditions?
As far as the building operation?
Doing nothing to it the way we have done for years, or just low maintenance? How long do you think that we could exist with what we have?
Well, we can continue to replace major equipment expenditures and boilers and air handling systems and stuff and keep the building running, but I don't know about any other standards.
So in about 5 years, supposedly, that we do build a new pod, they would be in those conditions for at least 5 more years, or however many years it would take to build or rebuild?
It doesn't necessarily mean we have to stay in those conditions for 5 years. We could put an aggressive plan together, or even a limited type of plan, and start addressing individual problems. What we cannot do is to completely gut the cell blocks and remove all those to improve the ventilation and redesign that small section so that there's no longer a threat for them to hang themselves on the ceiling diffusers. Those are serious issues that we cannot correct without major renovation. We can replace a boiler. We can repair an air handler. We can replace the coils that are freezing and breaking. And yes, we can keep piecemealing it together for as long as we need to. But that is throwing bad money after bad money with the efficiency that we're trying to achieve on today's standards.
And with the question that Ms. Michael had regarding our expenses and the budgetary constraints we have had in the last few years where we're laying off individuals and we're downsizing and we're, you know, taking pay cuts on a lot of the positions that we have on the county, how did we determine that we would spend the amount of money that we are projected to spend? I mean, we really don't know how much it is going to cost exactly, but I would imagine it's over $10 million, anywhere from $10 to $20 million. How did we arrive at that and determine that in a situation where we're still in debt by the nursing home and we're not coming afloat on that? And there's other expenses that we have on and bonds that we have on the courthouse that we haven't totally paid off. I'm just kind of wondering, do we have that type of capital to build anew and spend that and then be in hock for the next, I think the last figures that I saw here until 2029?
We don't have a figure for how much this is going to cost. We don't. That's one of the things that we do need to find out.
What I also fear is that when we have an RFP outside, like plans and burns, that all of the issues that were brought to the board, sort of to have a green water retention instead of the concrete sewage, that was an additional cost because those ideas were not actually written in the RFPs.
Oh, I totally agree.
So we want to make sure that when we do an RFP that all of the input, not only from this board, but from the constituents of this board, is also included, because like Carol had indicated, once we're on the train, there's no way of stopping that train. And that would also be a financial commitment that I don't think that we're really ready or have gotten out of currently.
Ms. Bergson.
Number three, we're still on number 2A. Cost assessment and comparative study of jail space solutions at Satellite Downtown is supposed to be accomplished in item 2 above. So, you know, if the RFP really says we want, we're and are willing to pay for a serious cost estimate on the two options, even though it's expensive, it's a lot cheaper than making the wrong decision. I think that would make a lot of the people on the board much happier. We would know what we're in for.
Can we focus on the RFP as an issue? Mr. Langenheim, then Mr. Carter.
All I wanted to say was that we're considering the RFP. We're not considering the composition of this committee. We're not considering a heck of a lot of things. We have a problem. We all recognize we have a problem. We cannot come to any near to an agreement on what we're going to do about that problem, as witnessed by this discussion. We're suggesting that we bring in an outside consultant to go through it and present alternatives in an orderly manner. Now, that RFP will not go out until this board approves it. So all of these things that you're asking for will be in that RFP, or you won't vote for it. So I think you can count on it reflecting the combined will of the board, if there is such a thing. And I would suggest that we call the question on the consideration of the RFP right now. That's the motion. I call the question.
Mr. Carter?
Well, I just want to say, before we leave here tonight, Tom, Deb,
Mr. Pye, I'll be just as kind to you tomorrow, next day, or whatever, without any remorse in my heart. But what I said, I'm not going to take it back. And that's the way I feel. And I don't think I ever sat up here and voted on something that, or wouldn't vote on something that I thought that was a need in your district. Or whatever your need was. I never made it. If I did, let me know. I never made you feel that way. And for some of my board members to come on and think what I said was really out of order,
not related to the question.
I'm going to let him.
See what I'm saying?
I'm going to let him finish.
See, that makes me feel bad right there. That I sat up here and vote for his condition to be good, but if when I say something, it's an insult. This is wrong. It's wrong. It's not democratic. And let me know. Let me tell you something. Reason I'm saying that, and Mr. J, I will not have no bad feet. I don't care what you do, because I got somebody in my bones. And if I do that, I'm not going to be blessed. And I know that. So I don't want to have two hells. When I leave here, I don't want to go to another hell. And I mean that from my heart. So what I'm saying, I don't have no more feeling, and I'll be kind and shake your hand or whatever tomorrow. I mean that. But I'm still hurt when I have people set up here that makes me think that they care something about me and make the comments they do. Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Michaels.
Just real quick, a clarification. Understanding what Mr. Langenheim said to me is a little different than what's on the agenda item. It says approval of release of the RFP, and his comment was that...
Okay, why don't we do this? Why don't we use the word development?
Okay, because that...
Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah, development.
Okay.
Because that would make a whole lot of difference.
I will recognize someone who's making a point of order, not a point of order, a calling of the question now. Mr. Weibel?
I'm not going to do that yet.
Okay.
I just want to comment to follow up on that. Mr. Rosales says that as far as maintenance of the jail or any other building, Mr. J has been reminding us that we have no really plans to do that, that, you know, they're set in stone. We sort of just piecemeal it. And he's been asking that, well, for many years now that we've set, okay, 10, thank you, set up a fund and a procedure so we have plans to have maintenance on all the buildings. And furthermore, Mr. Allen's staff has been cut by this county board. So that means he has less people to do the things that need to be done. So if you're looking at who to blame, well, you've met them.
Ms. Coer?
Yeah, I want to make a suggestion. For number two, we decided to develop the RFP for consulting services for needs and assessment, cost assessment, and comparative study of the jail space solution at the satellite and downtown jail. I think that those two should be combined, eliminate pre-design planning, and go with those two together.
Ms. Busey.
You need the needs assessment first before you can do any kind of analysis or cost assessment of putting the space needs in different facilities, whether it would be to remodel the downtown facility or to build new out at the satellite facility. That work has to be done by an architectural engineering firm. This RFP is not for architectural engineering services. This is for consultant services, for someone who can help us figure out what the needs are and approximately what kind of space it is that we then need to turn over to an architect engineer at the next step in the process, which would be an RFQ, which is indicated on the report at the end of this agenda. But that we can't get to that point this soon. And I would also point out that this schedule is as aggressive as it looks, because we knew that this board wanted a cost comparison analysis. So this is as fast as you you could get to one, and the schedule probably is, it is too aggressive, and in fact, just by what we're doing tonight, we won't be following the dates in this schedule. So we are probably at least a year away from being able to get a cost analysis comparison of whether the space is built, of building the space through a remodel at the current correctional, downtown correctional center, or as new space built at the satellite facility, or any other option that the board may want to look at.
Well, why do we have it on here?
What is on here is the RFP to hire the consultant to do the needs assessment and the pre-design study to talk about how the, based on the needs assessment, the kinds of spaces that you will need and how they should be in relationship to each other.
Now, there's only three people who have not spoke. Most people have spoke twice. Mr. O'Connor hasn't spoke, Mr. Schrader hasn't spoken, Mr. Richards hasn't spoke. Do either of you three wish to have a question or anything before I call the roll? Okay. And I want to point out, the reason I did not have the question called is because you have to recognize the person, and the chair chose not to because I want everyone to have that opportunity to speak. It's too important to cut anyone off, so I want everyone to speak. That being said, there is a motion on the floor to approve the development of an RFP, and I'm going to ask that the clerk call the roll.
So you have a split in place. Just covered in the
no.
Pre-design plan?
No. There isn't. There wasn't a motion, so call the roll.
You did not make a motion. She suggested it.
We operate by motion, and there was a motion on the floor. Call the roll.
Carter?
I'm sorry. My mind called me. Was I called the vote?
Yes.
No.
Bowers?
No.
Esri?
Yes.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurtz?
Yes. Yes.
Langenheim?
Yes.
Maxwell?
No.
McGinty?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes, for the development.
O'Connor?
No.
Petrie?
No.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosales?
No.
Schrader?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Alex?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Berkson?
Yes.
Yes, the motion carries. Now we're going to go back to item one. And just so that you know, normally, since this is not a county board committee or subcommittee that deals with this issue, because the county board members do not have the authority to appoint the prosecuting attorney, the state's attorney, the sheriff, or the judge, or any of these other executive branch officials, we don't have the authority to appoint them to anything. They are willing to serve on this committee, which follows the process that we've used in the past on projects. It is also the model that was recommended by the justice folks that we met with, and we circulated all of that material for all of you to look at throughout the past almost 6 months now. So I am, that is there essentially for informational purposes. Now, I do not have a problem with the idea that this committee absolutely should be listening to the people at the jail, should be listening to social services people, should be listening to all sorts of folks. I think they will. I have not found the folks to be closed. It's not been my experience. I have no vested personal thing here. I mean, I want to spend the next 8 months of my life dealing with jail issues. I do it all the time in some respects anyway. But that's what that's there for. It is not designed to exclude folks. We don't know who Judge DeFantis might designate as the person that would be his representative. We don't know who Ms. Reitz might appoint. She could appoint someone from her office. She could appoint someone from the community. And that is certainly true of other folks. This is how we have dealt with other issues. It has been very, very successful in the past, at least in terms of these initial steps. It does not mean that at some point we should not really have a jail advisory committee. I think that's part of the strategy that you see in the NIC report, is at some point you have to do that. We're not at that point. Not in my opinion, and not in the opinion of the folks that have dealt with this issue all over the country over and over again. Item 3 is the cost assessment. It is on the agenda because I told folks I would put it on the agenda last week. I believe you will get some results after you get your assessment on that issue. The fourth issue is garnering together impactors and social justice system to present information regarding improvements, implementation, and jailing communities report. That is really not necessarily entirely within facilities. It seems to me that justice and social services absolutely should be compiling a list of all the things that we provide in this community in terms of pretrial diversion, juvenile justice diversion, our quarter cent money. All of that should be compiled together. All of the things that we do to both prevent people from being in facilities, prevent crime, and prevent recidivism. I think that it would be good to have that information and how successful it has been. You know, the pretrial diversion program, how many people are on pretrial diversion per year, and how many of them successfully complete it without going to jail. That's information I think that is fairly easily available, but it would be very valuable information because from that point, then you can, in fact, analyze, can you use it more effectively? Are there some things that you could do better? And there's no one that doesn't want improvement. And will it have impact on jails? Possibly. Definitely. That's good information to know. But I really absolutely believe Mr. Richards' committee, as it was done in the past with the jury issue, this is a perfect use of the Justice and Social Services Committee to start gathering, and I know that Michael's interested in doing it. If you would speak to that, Mr. Richards.
That is correct. I think most everybody got an email from Tom today. I am interested in, and Pius hasn't said he would block it from the agenda for next week. I have not spoken with Ms. Busey, but I am interested in talking about this subject and at least having it on the agenda for this county board to decide if they want to have some sort of commissioner task force relating to these issues under the banner of Justice and Social Services.
Thank you, Mr. Richards.
Can I make a quick comment, Tom?
Yes, Mr. James.
Every time I hear we have a Justice Committee or this, isn't it the Committee of the Whole?
Sure it is.
Okay, well, I didn't get an email. Diane didn't get an email.
This was within my caucus. Maybe
of course I didn't check mine for 2 days, but okay. I'm just like...
Ms. Petrie.
Thank you, Chair Betts. I was the one who asked for this to be on the agenda. And I just want to thank Mr. Richards for his willingness to put it on the social justice agenda at the next COW meeting. And I do hope that there might be some collaboration between social justice and Ms. Ammons as chair of policy on working through developing some sort of task force. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Richards.
Yes. Let me just expand on my comments a little bit for the general public and for anybody who didn't talk with Mr. Betts about this. So we have Ms. Busey, is this right? Court services coming next week. Court services already planned. I've spoken with the sheriff and the state's attorney about possibly coming in future months to talk about some of the issues that came up the 31st, that they're already doing in relation to this project, especially with some of the social services projects they're working on and some of the programs they have to keep people outside of jail. And that's neither one of those is written in stone, but they were both receptive to that and seem like they want to do that. And in relation to what Mr. Betts was talking about and what I agree with, we're talking about having an agenda item which the county board, the committee of the whole, not specifically Justice or me, it will take a majority of votes, to talk about more policy-related issues having to do with this than specifically the building, such as mainly talking about some of the programs that we're already doing, thinking about how that plays in, such as the reconciliation programs that Tom's been talking about, and adult diversion, juvenile diversion, mental court, drug court, court services. Basically, what Justice has already been doing this year in this term with the Committee of the Whole, trying to bring in something. This would be more comprehensive, I think, than people would just want to do during the allotted time for that under Committee of the Whole, to have a commission to better come up with something so that the general public and everybody on the county board has a better picture about what we already are and are not doing, and what we are currently utilizing our current facilities for, so that we are more informed going forward. And if this gets a majority next week, however that's formed, we can go forward with something like that. If not, it won't.
Mr. Alex.
I mentioned earlier that I wanted to focus on the difference between the facilities side of this and the justice side of this, and it's been difficult because I recognize that at the last study session last week and at the meeting tonight, nobody came here from the public to talk about what color the walls should be in the new jail. I mean, people are here to talk about what are honestly fundamental questions of social justice. And I've heard very few people on the county board or among the sheriff and state attorney or their staff who are opposed to that. I mean, who doesn't want to consider alternatives to incarceration? Who would say, no, we shouldn't try to make the criminal justice system more fair, identify ways to reduce crime in the community, or look at how we're allocating our resources in that regard? I think there are members of the board, I certainly would put myself in this group, that are concerned about issues like racial disparities in sentencing. That do have reservations about the county's participation in the Secure Communities program. Again, the county board doesn't sentence people, and the county board doesn't lock up immigrants, but these are things that are happening in the county that I think their members have concerns about. I think there's bipartisan concern on the board about whether the relatively modest funding we're already providing for social services is being spent effectively and is being adequately accounted for. Not to go into depth, but I know we've had that discussion in the past. I think the comment I think we really need to focus on, Mr. Cruz and Mr. Dolan are both made the point, which I think is very good and ties it back into the facilities issue, that these issues of justice have implications on the jail space issue and vice versa. And an example I'd like to bring up, I think it was Mr. Dolliner mentioned minimum security versus maximum security. And one thing that I think the county could be doing more of is we're not really doing much in the way of work release. Part-time incarceration essentially allows people to serve their sentence and also be employed in the community. And frankly, the biggest reason for that isn't that the sheriff doesn't want to do it, it's because it doesn't really work with the facilities that we have. So I know the sheriff's open to considering looking at the jail space issue, looking at the possibility of dormitory type incarceration, looking at work release type facilities. And again, that's something where if the will is there in the community to implement the program, you really have to have the facility to do it, and the two have to go hand in hand. So, I mean, Mr. Cruz last at the study session suggested a task force. I think he brought it up again tonight. I think the Justice Committee is the appropriate jurisdiction to move that forward. I would like to see it happen. I'd be happy to participate. It might be premature to take it up next week. I don't know. I would hate to see something like that get thrown together. I'd like to see it be something that's given enough consideration that it can be done right. So I'm not going to be screaming if it doesn't happen next week. But, I mean, I think it is something that we need to do, and we need to do it in a timely enough fashion that it can inform the jail space issue and vice versa.
Dan.
I like the idea, and it, you know, next week may be quick, but at least to get started. And in listening to public participation, particularly last week, and have gotten some emails suggesting that, you know, should read about the wonderful program in Minnesota on restorative justice. As if we don't have anything going on here, maybe we could consider in some way even some kind of listing of the things that are happening, maybe not in detail, for our website so the public could be more informed about some actual programs. That doesn't mean they couldn't be expanded if the funds are there, but they could be aware of it and maybe then be willing to explore what's happening a little on their own to see, because it sounded to me almost as if a number of the people thought we weren't doing anything as far as alternatives, and I think we are doing some things. We heard from the Parenting with Love and Justice, you know, some of our quarter cent monies go into that. Was that just last month or 2 months ago? Which is really a start on this already.
Mr. Kurtz.
Thank you. I haven't said a lot this evening. I've been absorbing some of the very, very good comments from both sides. But listening to the public, it sounded as if they were misinformed on a lot of factual points. I've sat in on the mental health board. I've gone to graduations in the drug court. I've seen what the diversion programs can do. And the numbers speak for themselves. Over the last 10 years, we have reduced incarcerations by thousands of inmates. We're looking at successful programs. Probably the leader in the state in diversion programs that have helped both white and people of color, Hispanics and African Americans. If you look down the drug court list of the last drug court graduation, I would say 80% of those drug court graduates were African American or Hispanic. These are felons who would still be in our jail system if it wasn't for this type of a program and the other programs that we have. Now, can they be improved? Can they be expanded? I hope so, because they've helped a lot of these people. And I want to congratulate those in the state's attorney's office, in the public defender's office, in the sheriff's department, for working hard and diligently to try and reduce the inmate population. Nobody wants to see people go to jail unless they deserve to go to jail. And so if we can help more and more of these people to get back on the right track and become useful citizens in our community, as over 100 drug court graduates have become, to me, that shows the progress in this county. And we are talking about a facility, but we're not necessarily talking about expanding this facility. I talked with Ms. Anderson recently, and I said, why is everybody talking about expanding? We're talking about replacing a facility that's falling apart so that we can have a more efficient business. We can have the sheriff out at perhaps the satellite jail if that's where we're going to go with this. But it's so inefficient right now, unsafe. I've been through all of the satellite jails. I've been through the downtown jail. I've been through the juvenile detention center. These people care about what's going on there from both sides. And I care. I care that there are more African Americans than the percentage that live in this community in our jails. And that's why we have these programs, to try and straighten them out, help them. Love Without Limits is a phenomenal program that has been running here now in our community, helping entire families put their children back on a track of being a useful citizen in our community. And so we need to look at all the aspects of our juvenile and adult justice system from every aspect that we can, from facilities, from justice. And I feel this is an extremely important discussion, and we shouldn't short shift it. We should take the time that it takes for us to find all the options necessary for us to have a better justice system in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Richards, for taking on a really big project. I think it's going to be fascinating and interesting for this county to learn about it and discover potentials to make it even better. That being said, we're now on item 5 because people requested that there be some sort of funding model, which is, in my view, is probably very, very premature, but it was requested, and so I put things on the agenda when people request it. If people want to take it on tonight, we can. I don't think it's going to be terribly useful because we don't have a facility, but a plan, but it's up to the board. Mr. Weibel.
I suggest some other time.
Make a motion.
I move that we adjourn the meeting as soon as possible.
Barry.
5 minutes. I would suggest that this item be put on the agenda.
All those in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? We're adjourned.
Nope.